Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast of The Secret is Prayer. And today we're going to compare faith and obedience versus idolatry and sin. So that's pretty intense, Lauren. Yvette and I will try to keep up and dig deeper into seeing where we fall. Why don't you go ahead and start us in prayer, Lauren?
Lord Jesus, you are worthy of all honor and praise. Help us to love as you do and to act wisely so that others will be drawn to your salvation and hope. May we build each other up and encourage each other today as we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Okay, so yeah, this one's going to be pretty. I'm about to call y'all out. And no, I'm just kidding.
I'm ready.
We're ready. Because I know I fall under obedience.
Because I think, that's what I was going to say. I think I fall in on that second bullet there.
I was thinking about y'all when I wrote it. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so we're doing faith and obedience or lost through idolatry and sin. And I think it's important that we acknowledge that we are all lost. We're all lost. We're all of us. You know, we might have thought before that we weren't, but we're all lost. And in scripture, you know, when God saved the Israelis, when he led them out of Egypt, you know, and they were his chosen people, even them, they became lost and they were rebellious. And so if you read scripture over and over, it's going to be call to repentance, judgment, and then restoration. And everything that we're seeing today, that we're living now, it's all in there. It's all happened before. And so that's what I'm going to talk about today is repentance, being called to repentance, judgment, and the need for restoration. So, you know, we're all lost, and just the Israelis were judged also. They became lost over generations. They lost what they had learned. You know, Moses was given the Ten Commandments, the laws, and not everybody made it to the Promised Land because they were rebellious. They didn't want to listen, and they complained, and they didn't want to do it God's way. And so they spent years in the wilderness lost. And so not all of them made it to the Promised Land. So in Jeremiah 50 verse 6, you know, he says where God said, my people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray and caused them to roam on the mountain. They wandered over mountain and hill and forgot their own resting place. And that's us today. That's us now. We're wandering, we're lost. And, you know, and we're going based on what we know and what we've learned, you know, and I think sometimes we might think that we know more than others or that we were taught more than others. And yes, there is some knowledge there, but a lost, if you go back and you look, when you read scripture, you'll be surprised at how much you don't know and how much has been lost through the generations. And we're talking, you know, we're talking what, how many years? You're talking like, I don't even know how many generations that would be, but it's not your mom's and father's fault, but there's, you know, theirs and theirs and theirs and theirs, and you just keep going back, and it's just, you know, there's nowhere really to begin. And
let's begin with Eve, right?
Well, yeah, no, that's true. But that's true. But, you know, with Moses, God, you know, that was supposed to be a fresh start. And even then we became lost. The people became lost again. And then here we are again. You look at, you know, he says, you know, this is that they were a sinful kingdom. And I feel like that's us now. We are a sinful, the way we live now, we are a sinful world, you know? That's now, us.
Real quick, when you say they were lost, the Israelites, and then when you say we're lost, but first let's start with them. like, what do you mean by lost? Like, were they lost, physically lost? Like, they, you know, they were all walking together and then
well, they weren't, just went they off were not putting, they were no longer worshiping God. You know, they forgot that God created not only them, but created everything that they had, you know, that they stopped worshiping the creator and the gifts that, you know, the gifts that God gave them, they started worshiping the gifts and not the creator of the gifts, you know? So, and that's like us today, you know, we, when we talk about, idolatry, you know, what comes first in our lives now, you know, we're all pretty selfish, you know, in one way or another. And what comes first in our lives, you know, because is it Jesus? Is it God? You know, are we putting him first? Are we, or, you know, you think, look at all the, and just looking around, look, the war, you know, the war is going on. And then the, you know, the divorce, what we've been talking about, all the divorces and, you know, all the killing and all that, we're lost. We have no, nobody really cares anymore. You know, nobody's following the law. We're doing whatever we want.
And, you know, before you move on, when we were talking about the idolatry, you know, going back to Moses, remember when he went up the mountain for the Ten Commandments, the people wanted Aaron to make an idol for them because they wanted something physically for them to see.
That they wanted to see, right?
Yeah. So I guess they figured, well, we can't see God. We need something. And so Aaron gave them what they were asking for.
Right. And they got tired of waiting because he was taking too long and they were tired of waiting. So they wanted something right then and there. And that's us today. You know, we want something right now. We want to see something now. And we don't wait on God, you know? And so, and then what do we teach our kids, you know? And it's just, and it happens gradually, you know, it's not like stuff that happens overnight. It happens gradually. So what are we teaching the next generation, you know, and what's it going to become after the, you know, with their kids and so forth. And so, so now we're going to talk about judgment because God had to judge Israel because they wouldn't repent. So coming back to when we come back to God, it has to be on his terms. And we talked in the last podcast about, you know, coming to him and with humility, you know, and so we can come to him in two ways. We can be broken in humble surrender before God or be completely broken in judgment, because we will all be judged. Every single one of us will be judged. And so, you know, a perfect example of that is Peter. If you look at Peter and Judas, you know, Peter, when he denied God, he, out of fear, you know, he repented and then Jesus was able to use him, you know, Jesus was able to use him to preach and teach the gospel. And, but Judas didn't, you know, Judas hid, he ran and he hid. He was more, when you see, he was sorry he got caught, you know, and he ran and he hid, and then judgment caught up with him. So when God judged Israel, he used an invasion. You know, he used the invasion of Babylon. And so when he used Babylon, you know, God will use different instruments to judge. He'll use different instruments to judge. And it could be a person, you know, it could be a place, it could be a thing. He'll use different instruments. But when he used Babylon as an invasion in Israel, you know, he used King Nebuchadnezzar. So God didn't motivate King Nebuchadnezzar to invade Israel, but the king, you know, by his own sinful desire and free will, he went in and he invaded, and God allowed it. You know, he didn't stop it. So when Babylon invaded Israel as judgment, then Jeremiah, at the time, he was the prophet, and he had been telling them that this was coming, to repent, that this was coming, and they didn't want to listen. Then, you know, Jeremiah told the people that this was going to happen, and for them to surrender, that when they're, while they're in exile, when Babylon comes in and they're in exile, for them to surrender, and that those that seek God, God will protect them while in exile. But those that don't will die. So you had those that, after the invasion, went into Babylon and surrendered and, you know, started following God again. And those people kept on living, even though they were in Babylon, they got to keep living. But and God blessed them and he protected them. But those that ran away, they died. They were killed. They were killed by the sword, or they were killed by famine. And some even ran back to Egypt from where, you know, God had freed them in the first place. They escaped to Egypt and they died. And that's kind of like us now. You know, we see judgment. You know, God does it in Zephaniah, I hope I'm saying that right. In Zephaniah, God describes his wrath. You know, he describes his wrath because he says, those that do not repent, you know, his wrath will come. And he describes it as a day of trouble. You know, and how many of us, you know, have been there already? We've seen a day of trouble. I know I've seen a day of trouble. You know, was that enough? Did that change me? And then he says, a day of destruction and desolation. And okay, yeah, I've seen destruction and desolation. Was that enough? Did that change me more, you know? And then a day of darkness and of gloom. And I'm thinking, a day of darkness and of gloom. Okay. You know, a cloudy day. Yeah, I've had some cloudy, some days without the sun, you know, where it's gloomy. But then he goes on, a day of clouds and total darkness, you know. And then the last day, the trumpet blast and a battle cry. But by then it's too late. You know, so what's it going to take? What's it going to take for us to repent and surrender? You know, because, again, all people will bow down to God. So,
Lauren, when you said that story again about
Babylon,
the Israelites going, yes, Babylon. So that some, you know, he told them, go into Babylon. You know, or go through Babylon. You have to go through Babylon. And then the other ones, some ran away because they didn't want to face it.
Right.
You know? So I guess, what does that mean to everyone today who's listening to the podcast? You know, if God, like you mentioned, you went through each stage, like he showed you this and you didn't listen. He showed you that. So like in today's world, like, you know, what does that look like? Like, how is he showing me?
Well, and it could be,
you can say, you know, like what are the signs? Like, what does that look like in today's world?
And today, well, a day of trouble. I think we're living it now, you know, because look at, you know, all the people that with COVID, you know, the pandemic, you know, like that's pretty, I could see that in all of these, you know, and because that's a very scary thing in this darkness. And look at everything that happened, you know, not only were people dying from it, but we kind of had our own famine too, because people were losing jobs. You know, the stores were closed. We weren't able to get food. You know, if you're not going to work, then you're not getting paid. And, you know, so we've seen a day of trouble, you know, that's pretty,
those are all signs that he,
yeah, those are, yeah, signs, I was, exactly, you know? And then recently we had the storms and we had the tornadoes, you know, destruction, that's destruction, you know, destruction and desolation, you know, and well, that, is that, was that scary enough, you know, here in Houston, we have, you know, floods all the time, and we have hurricanes and all those things, you know, and then it could be, you know, your marriage, it could be your marriage that you see in trouble, you know, that you start seeing it being destroyed and, you know, desolation. Or it could be a sickness, you know, because he's going to use an instrument, you know, he's going to call, that's him calling you to him. And you have to see the signs, but are you going to ignore him? Are you going to run away, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or is that what brings you to your knees and, you know, and humble you and repent? Because then he does promise, you know, restoration.
But I guess he's asking you, though, he's telling you when we narrow it down to, you know, he's using the storms and he's using all these huge things to get everybody's attention. But then in your family, he's using stuff, too. If you are lost, if you're not paying attention, if you've gone into, you know, worshiping other things, doing other things versus that's because idolatry could be many things, right? Like money.
That's what right.
Right. Exercising.
Yeah.
Eating.
Time. It can be
a parent, a child.
Yeah. So it could be all those things. So he's going to start in your life, drawing your attention by doing, you know, sending you all these messages that you need to, you know, keep an eye on. But once you realize and you stop, because he's going to use something that finally makes you stops you in your tracks, and then he wants you to turn around and in a sense walk through Babylon, right? Now go back, right. Go back the same way. Now you got to face your consequences, right?
Right. Which is now Babylon. You have to face your Babylon is your judgment, your judgment, because now you're in this place. You're in this place. You don't recognize, you know, you're under somebody else's, you know, rule, you know, it's, you're like in a new, you're in exile. You're in a new place. You're lost. You don't know anybody, you know, you're starting fresh. You just, you know, cause you had to pick up and go, you had to just pick up and go because they were invading, you know, it was a war. They invaded Israel. So who are you going to rely on now? You know? So if that didn't bring
it to you, separated you from everything, you know,
exactly. And Babylon didn't worship God. You know, there were evil people. There were at the time, they were the worst of the worst. You know, they were the worst of the worst. So Israel, they were, you know, sinners, and they were already, you know, being very sinful. They were already doing evil things. They were worshiping idols. They were, you know, you had all the sexual immorality. You had all those things going on. Well, somebody worse than them came and invaded them. So now they're living among people that are even worse than what they were living with before. You know, but God told them, if you surrender and you repent, then I'll protect you even there, you know. But he didn't take them out right away because they were in Babylon. I think it was 70 years.
7 years.
So, but he told them, I'll protect you, and you keep on living, you keep marrying your children, like you keep living, and I'll protect you. And that's like us now, you know, that's where faith and obedience comes in, because you have to keep moving forward. But with God, you know, with Jesus, even then he will protect us. If we repent and we come to him, he will protect us even in these scary times, you know? So, and that brings up the point, you know, to don't give up on people, you know, don't give up on yourself, you know, don't give up because
society wants you to.
Right. And that's exactly. One of the, they want you to give up and to give in. And in Ephesians, I wanted to talk about where he says, where he speaks about restorations. Says, therefore say, this is what the Lord God says, I will gather you from the peoples and assemble you from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. When they arrive there, they will remove all its abhorrent acts and detestable practices from it. I will give them integrity of heart and put a new spirit within them. I will remove their heart of stone from their bodies and give them a heart of flesh so that they will follow my statutes, keep my ordinances and practice them. They will be my people and I will be their God. So that's where he wants us. You know, he wants us, He will give us a new heart. You know, when you repent, when you come to him and you repent, he will give you a new heart, a heart of flesh, you know. And when you make him your God, when you put him first, when you put that relationship first, you're under his covering, and he will protect you and he will provide for you, even in the scariest places. And especially, you know, since we've been talking about marriage being a stander, you know, you're kind of being going into Babylon. And so if you repent and you come to him, he will cover you, and then he will go and bring your, you know, your husband. He will go after your husband or your spouse and bring them back, you know, because he's going to gather all those that have scattered. So in that same sense, that's what happens in our marriage, because he wants us to come back to him. And he not only wants to give, you know, we need a new heart too, because we also had a heart of stone, you know, so we need a new heart. But then he's also going to put a new heart in your husband too. But we have to realize that we have to change too, that it's not just our spouse.
Right. And, you know, I think when you talk about Jeremiah, even in the gospel, Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened. And that's pretty much the same that you talked about, you know, in the Old Testament, you know.
Yes. And that in. And that's a totally new, you know, we talked about the woman at the well, mm-hmm. and how she was carrying all that weight, you know, when you're taking those pills and you had to refill them. And I feel like that's the life that we live in today, is where we're carrying all that weight and we're having to make, you know, we get up and it's the same thing every day, and you're making that long journey. And, you know, and some of those days are really, you know, the sun might be, you know, beaming on you. And then on some, you know, on those cold days, that wind is, you know, at your face. And when you come to Jesus and you surrender to him, he takes that away. You know, he takes on that burden. He makes our yoke light, and he does. He makes it, he moves things and does things that we never thought he could do, you know. And it could be ugly and stormy outside, but he will protect you. You know, you have everything you need, and you have peace and you have joy even in those dark days.
But the most important thing, I think I shouldn't say especially men, because I know there's some women too, you have to humble yourself, because if you keep that pride and you don't fully accept that you do need to surrender, you mm-hmm. know, oh, I have control, I got this, I can do this, I don't need anybody or anyone. But if you come to him, he'll make your yoke light and he will help you carry the burden, but you have to humble yourself. When Jesus came, and I think I told you about this, Lorraine, I was thinking about the episode from Chosen, and I think it was the second episode, you know, Jesus cuts himself, and easily he could have, you know, because he was God. He was uh-huh. full human, but he was fully God. He could have healed himself, but he didn't. In the gospel, he says, I came not to be served, but to serve. And that's what we right. need to remember. We need right. to humble ourselves. And even with, it's not saying you're going to be a slave to someone, but it's definitely, we can serve other people like Jesus served.
Well, and he wants to be able to use us to, because he wants to save everybody, yeah. you know, he wants to say, and we need saving too. And sometimes we think, no, we don't need saving, I'm good. But you don't, until you've come to Jesus and you repented, that's, believe me, it's a different kind of saving, because I thought I was saved until now, you know. And and the relationship with him should be first, you know. And I think that no matter what relationship you're in right now, you know, whether you're married or divorced or separated or single, your relationship should be with Jesus first and above all other relationships. And if you haven't already repented, then repent and come to him and say, you know, and ask him, search my heart out, you know, God, I don't know if I have repented already or not, why I thought I did. If there's anything I missed, then search my heart and then face anything that might come. And don't think that you're going to have to walk through that fire alone, because you're not, you know, he will be with you. And I think it's important to, you know, because we talked about, because judgment's going to come to all of us. It's going to come to all of us. And I think, you know, for people that are out there and that are in relationships, that, you know, think about the relationships that you're in, because when you're with Jesus, he's gonna, when you make that, the relationship with Jesus the most important, he's going to fix your other relationships. You know, he's going to fix all your other relationships with not only your spouse, but with your children and with your friends and with your family. And so I think it's important too, because you need to think about that. If, you know, we talked about how if when a person leaves their family, when they divorce, you know, we had said, we all agreed that divorce shouldn't be an option. And, you know, it says in the Bible, if a man, if a man or a woman, you know, they abandon their family, that they are no longer under God's covering, you know, so they're under God's judgment, because they have a responsibility to that family. And so then I think it's important to remember, when you're out there and you're creating these new relationships, you know, to ask God, is this person for you? Because if they're under God's judgment, then do you really want to invest in a relationship that's going to bring judgment on you, you know? And I think that's important for like the single folks out there too, that are, you know, that want to get married and that they're waiting, you know, like my girls that are still young, I would tell them, you know, to pray about that, to pray about any new relationship, and that they're from God and that he sends them, and that it is a person that's going to lead their family in closer to God and not further away from God. And I thought that was important when we're thinking about judgment, you know?
And I wonder, I was just thinking this, it might be a dumb question, but how would we want to come to God? Do we want to come on, yes, of course, on his terms, but do we want to come humbly, just God, you know, take over my life? Or do we want him to force us to our knees? Because either way, God's going to get what he wants, when, you know?
Right.
He gets what he wants. Mm-hmm. So like for you, what do you think? Like for me, I wish I would have came on my own rather than have stuff like, hey, this is what's happening, you know?
Right. And I think
I feel like, well, I was blindsided in a way. Yeah. Like,
exactly. I think that we're past that.
Oh,
we missed all the signs.
If we
can, that's the thing. Missed, he was showing us signs if you look back.
Yeah. I think we missed some of those signs. You know,
so just think about that, you know, listeners, do you, you know, come, not, I don't want to say come on your terms to God, but humble yourself and allow him to change your life for the good, instead of having something hit you, come out of left field and you're like, what is happening to me? Because this is not.
Well, and too, in today's world, you know, a lot of the bad stuff, a lot of the sins, we accept them as the norm. So it's harder to tell what's right and what's wrong. You know, it's harder to make those decisions, because in society, a lot of the sins, you know, it they make it seem like it's right, like it's okay. And so I think that's why we can't, you know, we're all the woman at the well. We're all the woman that is begging for scraps. Like, that's where we're at now, you know? We're not that innocent, you know, like child. Mary. Yeah, that innocent child anymore. We're deep in sin. We're deep in sin. And maybe it's not sexual immorality, but there's plenty of other sins to go around, you know, that we've done. And we're so blinded that we don't even, unless you come to Jesus, you don't really know which sins those are. And I think that, you know, with the marriage and with divorce and, you know, all of that, because it trickles down to our kids, and there's, you know, the consequences are great there. And when we're trying, you know, our whole purpose is to create godly children, is to go to God. If you're in a relationship right now, to go to God and ask, is this the relationship that I'm supposed to be in? You know, if not, remove this person. And because we all deserve, I think, you know, when we think about what God really intended for us in marriage, and a relationship between a wife and a husband, you want that, you know, you want that marriage with him, because it's a completely different marriage. And when you realize what that really looks like, mm-hmm. and what it's meant to be, then you wouldn't question, you know, everything that God was trying to teach us or is trying to teach us. You know, we'd be ready to submit and to surrender.
Right. Exactly. So don't wait for him to come, you know.
Right. Yeah. That's what
I tell my kids too, you know, go to him. Don't wait till he comes, you know, because
right.
I think that's, you're right. When he shows us the signs, he's so subtle. He's so subtle until he's like, all right, just like when I heard a podcast with Tony, you know, God would speak to his people in the Old Testament through the prophets. And then there was 400 years where it was silent. Mm-hmm. And so Tony talks about where God's like, all right, you know what? I'm done. I'm coming down there to make things right.
Exactly. You know? And so
Jesus is here trying to make things right. And it's still like he was walking among them and they still wouldn't see, you know, and that can't be subtle either. It was like in your face, hey, I'm here. And his people still turned their backs on him.
Right. Yeah, we were just talking about that the other day. Remember, Lauren, I forgot what scripture it was, but, you know, where he talked about, first he sent the prophets to tell everybody, mm-hmm. hey, repent, turn away from your sins. They didn't mm-hmm. listen. Then he sent his son, you know, to tell them, hey, repent. And what did they do? It was talking about the servant. So then he sent his second servant, which is Jesus, down to tell us, hey, repent, turn around. And then they killed them. So then now, like you, Yvette, he's saying, okay, that's it. I have to go. Like, you know, like a good father, right. I have to go, you know,
yeah.
Give me the belt.
Yeah.
Give me the belt.
Yeah. Where's the child? Yeah, exactly. Right? Give me the belt.
Put the child away, mom. I got the belt. Yeah.
Daddy's
exactly.
coming. Daddy's coming. You know? Better stop. You know, that's turn right. around.
Yeah.
Turn
isn't around. It, in a marriage, right? The moms yeah. are supposed to be the nice one. And the dad is the one that comes in with the
discipline right?
Everybody's exactly. Like, oh, yeah.
Like, wait a minute. Yeah. Yep. Now dad is mad. And I think it's important, you know, because especially in relationships, because God's not gonna send you, you know, a man that has responsibilities to another family, you know, he really intends for all of us to have a good, you know, the marriage that he intended, you know, with him. So, and I think that's what I see the most out there. And God's not going to send you that kind of man, you know? So, and if you don't, so, and that's why I say to question God about those relationships, you know, if that's the right one that you need to be in. And if there's a chance of fixing things with your ex-husband or ex-wife to really take that to God, because God wants unity. And when he talks about restoration, you know, we shouldn't limit ourselves. You know, God can do amazing things, and he can do, you know, nothing that's impossible for him. And the people that we think can't change, believe me, they can. They can, you know. And if you're out there, you know, if you're in a relationship with a married man or a man that is thinking about divorce or separation, you know, if he has a wife praying for him, standing for him, then just know that you can lose that man at any time, because she has God behind her and, you know, God's army behind her. And he wants unity, you know, he wants reconciliation. So you're taking that risk. So that's why I was saying, don't invest, be careful in what relationships you invest your time in, you know, because you want it. I think we all want that family, you know, we all want that family with God and where, you know, it's love and it's not lies and betrayals and all the things that are happening now. So I think that's very important. And if you're single, let Jesus steal your heart away. Let him be your husband, you know, let him provide for you. and take care of you until the right man comes along, until he sends you the right man that comes along. And every man that knocks on your door as Jesus, is he from him? You know, did he send them?
So you know, is this hardest, him, Jesus?
Yeah. You know what the hardest thing is, Jesus, though? Is,
are you my love? I'm sorry, Mega.
No, it's okay. I should gather my thoughts, but what is hard for, you know, if someone's listening, like, well, how do I know? They don't know what they're missing until they have it, right?
Yeah, right.
So yes.
For us, yeah. You know, being married for so long, mm-hmm. and not having a God-centered marriage, I didn't know I was missing it.
Right.
I have it. Yeah.
So, exactly.
You know, people who are listening might be like, well, how do I know if I have it or not? You definitely would know if you have it.
Yeah. If you have to question it,
go find it, go surrender, and get them in your life. Yeah.
Yeah. And ask God to show you where you can make changes and make those changes, you know? And
two, I think some people are like, well, I do pray, but I think, again, we've talked about that there's a difference between
there's a
difference of having God actually, you're in a covenant. I can honestly, wholeheartedly say now I'm in a God-centered marriage and I'm in a covenant with him. Mm-hmm. Back then I prayed too. And my kids made their sacraments and everything was good, I thought, right? Mm-hmm. But now I can say, so there is a difference between why I pray and go to church. Yes. But there's a difference between when you have a marriage and God is in your marriage, you know?
Right.
And usually you have to go through Babylon. You know, it's rare when you don't have to go through Babylon to,
you know, and if you, and if you're there and you don't have to go through Babylon, great.
We haven't met one except Mary and Joseph.
Yeah.
Right. And that's where you want to get to. You know, you want to get to Mary and Joseph and you know, and then you will, just like God protected them from everything that was happening, and you know, from the king that was after them and after Jesus, you'll have that now, and what better time than now, because things are only getting scarier and uglier, you know, and you want to have that covering with him, because that's where your peace comes from. Because when you know that you're under God, then you know you're going to be good, you know?
Yeah.
And not to say that bad things aren't going to happen, but that when they do, you're going to have, you know, you'll have him. You'll be with him.
It won't be scary,
you know,
to face that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
You won't be scared. Well,
yeah,
that's awesome. I think, what do you think, Yvette? Where did you fall under?
You know,
I think
I'll tell you if you're right or not.
Okay. Oh, did you put me down with what you thought? Okay, so no. I think that
roll the dice.
I definitely fall under the completely broken in judgment. I think that is definitely me.
I think me too.
Yeah, I think we all do. Yeah.
I will say I was lost through idolatry. Looking back on my journey, I was lost in idolatry as well. And so I think my journey started after my mom passed away. And I think he took my idolatry from me. Yeah. And he said, all right, sister. Boom.
Yeah.
Like, I think.
Yeah.
What are you going to do now?
What are you going to do now?
What are you going to do now?
Well, you know, we lost our mother. So I think that too, because we would have run to her, not to God.
Yeah.
Right. I ran home to my mom.
So now I know. Yeah. And when my daughters come to me like, mom, can you say a prayer? Sure, but you need to go to him.
Don't
come to me.
Okay. Yeah. What does it say, God? Do not take me out of this world, but did you protect me from the evil one? You know, it's like, no, girl, you better go. No.
So that's where I fall. Where did you have me under, Lorena?
No, I was just kidding. I think we all I think that's if I could go back or if I can teach my kids anything, because I always think about what I could teach the girls, you know, what I could teach their generation is that, you know, don't wait look around you and pay attention and go to God now, because you want him. I think that if I could have known the things that I know now, but you know, back then, before I even started dating or any of that, then, you know, what would the past 20 something years have been like, you know?
Right.
Because I was, you know, going to the well.
Yeah.
Running out of water, yeah. Going to the well, going to the well.
By yourself. Yeah.
By myself.
By yourself. And, yeah.
So and many we years. Carry the burdens of our family on our shoulders.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Exactly. And I've been that woman under the table begging for a miracle, begging, you know, for
anything.
For salvation. Yeah, for anything, any scraps. And the scraps.
Exactly. Like anything.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. I've been there. So I think if I can teach them that.
I was reading on scripture today for the gospel of what about that woman who was in bondage where she couldn't walk straight and Jesus took that spirit from her and she was able to stand up straight and walk.
Oh, right. Yeah. And there was her faith. Is she the one that touched him? That her faith? No.
No.
No, that's the one that was bleeding.
Oh, okay.
This one was she did have like a spirit and she was hunched over.
Right.
She was possessed.
Yeah, but she was.
Did she have some demons?
Yeah, and they got mad at because he healed her and released her, and she was able to stand up straight. I'll look, but it's in the gospel.
Yes, and remember that next time, so we can let them know, so they don't.
We're
not lying to you. We're not making up these stories there.
No, it's all in scripture, and I think when we look at all those women, you know, we can find where we can relate to all of them and where they all needed Jesus. Because if you think like, well, no, you know, I pray and because I was there, I thought I was doing all those things and I was completely off. And now I'm grateful for that. You know, I'm grateful that God used my marriage to bring me closer to him because I wouldn't want to be back where I was before.
No.
Well, this was awesome. Very interesting stuff to learn. Yvette, do you want to end today's session in prayer? Do you have a prayer or a scripture for us?
I have a scripture from Jeremiah chapter 4. If you return, Israel, this is the Lord's declaration. You will return to me. If you remove your abhorrent idols from my presence and do not waver, then you can swear, as the Lord lives, in truth and justice and in righteousness, then the nations will be blessed by him and will pride themselves in him. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, everyone, for joining. Bye-bye.